What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today is all about the draft. If you're a Wizards fan, you're listening to this episode, this is the place to be because I'm going to give you everything you need to know to get you guys ready for the draft, which at the time I'm recording this is a week away, but by the time it's posted, it'll be 6 days away. Give you background information where, when, how to watch the draft, things like who the Wizards should target at the number two pick. Guys, even at 26 and 51, even if they're harder to, speculate on who's going to be there, still a decent perspective on who should be there at those later picks, and a bunch of other draft nuggets, reports on Alexander Sarr, Risache, Klangin, Castle, all those top guys, trade back and trade up scenarios. There's a lot to unpack in this episode, but if you're listening by the end, I promise you'll be ready for. The draft in a week. You'll have all the knowledge possible to talk to your friends, to talk to anybody else about the draft, if you stick with me through this episode. So, without further ado, just gonna get into some of the background information that I feel like is necessary. Just because the draft is 2 days this year, it's the first time ever that it's a 2 day event. And some people might not know that, and that can mess a lot of things up, because the draft's typically 8 p.m. on Thursday, the entire draft, but now it starts on a Wednesday. So Wednesday, June 26th at 8 p.m. Eastern time is the round one of the NBA draft, and it'll air on ESPN. And then day two is June 27th at 4 p.m. So it's a 4 p.m. Eastern time start, an early start on day two, and that'll be the entirety of round four. So again, June 26th, round one, June 27th at 4 p.m. Eastern time is round two. That's the background information. Now, to get into the Wizards and what the Wizards are looking at, Will Dawkins, General Manager Will Dawkins, and President of Monumental Basketball Michael Winger, Travis Schlenk, and the rest of the front office are looking at is this draft board right now. They have the first, or they have the second pick of the first round. They have the 26th pick of the first round, and then in the second round, they own the 51st pick. The 26th pick is via the LA Clippers, and they received that in the Daniel Gafford trade. If you forget, Washington at the deadline sent Daniel Gafford to Dallas and in return got Rashawn Holmes and the 26th overall pick. So it's via the Clippers, but technically sent to the Wizards from Dallas. And then you look at the second round. The Wizards would be sitting pretty at number 32 had they not traded their pick. I'm pretty sure the Wizards don't have their second round pick this year because it was lost in the Russ trade or something like that. But they don't have it. Utah owns it through a series of trades and other stuff. So Wizards do not own their own second this year, but they do own Phoenix's second round pick, which fell to number 51, and that is because of the Bradley Beal trade. It's the first of, I believe, seven total second round picks that'll be sent from Phoenix to Washington as a part of that deal. A little nugget here. The Wizards, because of that same Bradley Beal trade, do have the right to exercise a pick swap in the first round with Phoenix in this year, but obviously, they're declining to do so. Phoenix is at 22. The Wizards are at two. They're not going to move back. It's obvious. But the next pick swap opportunity, it's important to know that's in 2026. So from this point, every 2 years through 2030, the Wizards will have the choice to pick swap with the Suns. And even in 2026, I doubt the Wizards will be better than the Suns, so I don't think that'll be used. But it's 2028 and 2030 that are huge. And that's where I think the Suns might be done with this current core. They might have to collapse and rebuild. And at that point, the Wizards could be on an upward trajectory, and those pick swaps will come into play. And then, like I mentioned, Utah owns Washington's pick. So if you're sat there when the second round starts and you're expecting the Wizards to be the second team to pick, it's not the case this year because they traded that pick away. They'll be at 51 in round two. So that's where the Wizards stand in terms of picks. They could always trade out of certain spots. They could always pick up additional picks. But for right now, that's what they're looking at. So to begin with like realistically who could be there at number two, there's certain names circulating. Like the Wizards worked out Stephon Castle. I tweeted that out today. They worked out Donovan Klingon about a week ago. They worked out Alex Sarr privately, and they're scheduled to work out Zachariah Risache in the coming week. before the draft. So all of those guys, I feel like, are realistically in play for the number one pick, or sorry, for the number two pick, I should say. But I don't really buy the Castle slash Klingon. I'm not gonna say I don't buy their hype because I like both as prospects, but I don't buy the Wizards drafting them. I think it's a pretty clear cut two horse race between Rhys Ashay and Alexander Saar, and I really don't think it's gonna be a choice between those for the Wizards because obviously Atlanta's the first pick and they're gonna take Zachary Rhys Ashay. You can circle back to this podcast a week from now, and you can if the Atlanta Hawks don't draft Zachary Rhys Ashay, I don't whatever you name it, I'll do it. I'm so confident in I'll say this. If the Atlanta Hawks don't take Rhys Ashay number one, I'll tweet out that I think Tommy Shepard was the greatest GM of all time. That Wes Unseld Jr. was the best coach of all time and was definitely not the reason the Wizards underperformed the last couple years. Both of those are untrue, but I'd be willing to make myself look like a fool because that's how confident I am that Rhys Ashay is going one. I mean, the rumors of Rhys Ashay being linked, the mock drafts like mocking Rhys Ashay to go number one to Atlanta, it just makes sense. And look, ESPN, these are a couple reports that are that I'm just gonna name. And honestly, I don't know if I should say that. I don't know if I should say that Rhys Ashay will go one. I should say that Alex Saar won't go one. I think that's more so what I'm trying to get at, is Alex Saar won't go one. And these are a couple reports that are gonna back my claim here. This is a report from ESPN. Said that the Hawks have been unable to bring Alex Saar in for a workout, whether that's, I'm sure they're reaching out. They want to do their due diligence. And maybe Alex Saar is just like, bro, you have two centers. I want to go to a spot where I'd start right away. Washington would take me if I fall. I'd want to go there. So it's possible that that's the case. Saar just doesn't want to go to Atlanta. Atlanta's been heavily linked to Rhys Ashay the entire draft process, already held a private workout with him. Apparently, it went pretty well. They sent guys over to France where he was playing to scout him. The Hawks, quote, really like Donovan Klingon, impressed them at their workout and the film session and everything. Quinn Snyder apparently really likes what Klingon could provide playing next to whatever point guard they don't trade. Jonathan Wasserman of Bleacher Report said the Hawks, quote, don't really love Saar, end quote. Like these are all just reports that are backing the Alex Saar falling to number two rumors. I mean, you look even DraftKings today updated their odds to go number one. Saar had been the betting favorite for months. And now Rhys Ashay is -115 to go one with Alex Saar +110, putting Zachary Rhys Ashay as the new number one favorite to go number one. I mean, there's so many dominoes that could fall. I'm just, those are all the reports that back me. And then you go and look at mock drafts. ESPN has Saar going to Washington. Bleacher Report, Saar. Yahoo, Saar to Washington. The Ringer, Saar. CBS Sports, Saar. NBA Draft Net, Saar. Hoops Hype, Saar. The only one that I've seen that has Rhys Ashay falling to number two is NBA.com. And that's like a consensus type of thing that I'm not really buying into. The point here is that Alex Saar will be there at number two. You can bet on that. And look, I said before, in the beginning, I'm not going to re-record the pod, but like I should have said, I tweet those things out if Saar isn't there at number two, not if Rhys Ashay doesn't go one, because I think Atlanta's pretty much down to Rhys Ashay or Klingon. But I'm 90% sure it's going to be Rhys Ashay, and I'm 99.9% sure Alex Saar is going to be number two. 99.9% sure Alex Saar is going to be a Wizard. Look, the Wizards have a gaping need at center, and I've said this throughout the entire draft process. But when you're rebuilding, the Wizards have a need at center, a big need, but they have 14 other needs. Bilal, for all I know, Bilal Coulibaly is the only piece of this puzzle that is automatically going to be here for the duration of this rebuild. As much as I am a big Denny Avdia guy, I'm buying Jordan Poole. I think he could be something. Really like Corey Kispert. These are all guys you'd love for them to stay here. But right now, Bilal's the only one that's a lock to. And when you're a team like the Wizards that has 14 places that you gotta, fill out for the future, anything's on the table. You don't draft for fit. It just so happens, though, that the best player I think in this draft is a center. And he's going to fall right in your lap. Alex Saar is going to fall the number two. And if you had to tell me to pick right now, I'd tell you that a week from today, Alex Saar is going to be walking up to that podium. He's going to be giving Adam Silver a big hug. He's going to be putting on that DC hat, and he's going to be repping the Wizards for the foreseeable future. That's my prediction. I'm very confident in that prediction, based on all the reports I gave you. The betting favorites for DraftKings, like it, the draft experts as well. Like it's all aligning for Alex Saar to be a Wizard a week from today on June 26th. Other guys that are in play, and I want to make sure everybody is kind of in the know about who could go number two. I mean, let's say Saar goes one, Risa Shea bombs his workout for the Wizards. Anything could be on the table. Reed Sheppard, 6'3" guard from Kentucky. 6'3", 183 pounds. A lot of scouts have questioned, will his slender frame be able to absorb contact? Will he be able to see over defenders in the pick and roll? Like, it's a lot of things like that. But look, he shot 52% from three. 52% from three on Kentucky in the SEC. Numerous times he pulled Kentucky from the depths of the feet and won them games. He's a baller. But I just don't buy his fit with the Wizards. The Wizards like size, length, defensive versatility. He has none of that really. So it's not a Will Dawkins prospect. So, and I really think Houston loves him. I would be willing to bet that Houston takes him at three, but I just don't think he fits the Wizards. And then you go to Stephon Castle, guard from UConn, 6'6". One of the best perimeter defenders in this draft class. Ryan Dunn, superb from Virginia. He's probably a better, and there's probably some other ones that challenge him. But terrific, terrific on ball defender, athleticism, size for the guard position, lateral quickness. But the offense has a ways to go, and it got better throughout the season. But it has a ways to go, and I think you'd be betting on his positional upside. But it's also he's apparently not been wanting to go to teams that don't view him as a point guard. The Wizards could re-sign Tyus Jones. They view Jordan Poole as a point guard, and they're paying him $30 million. So I don't know what that fit would be. But again, I wouldn't mind taking him. I had a nice round table. Shout out to Craig Hoffman, who set it up with Damo and Matt Moderno. And they both, Damo and Matt, both said that they would take Castle over Saar because they think he's that good. So if you want to know from those guys who are really in tune with the draft, how special Castle can be, and why he could very well be the pick at two, just look at some of their stuff that they've tweeted because they've been on Castle for the entire time. And then the last real possibility I could see it to is Klingon, Donovan Klingon, 7'2", 280-pound center from UConn. He's a unit. Castle's probably the best on-ball defender, or one of them in the draft, and Klingon's the best rim protector. 2.5 blocks per game, clean the glass on both ends. The Wizards have a massive need at center, and obviously Klingon's an NBA prospect that would fill that immediately. The only issue I see with Klingon is where is the upside? Like a guy like Walker Kessler, who came into the league 2 years ago with Utah. I mean, his rookie season, I think he made first or second team All-NBA. He was phenomenal, but he was the same in year two, and I think he'll be the same in year three and year 10. Like, he's going to be a very solid player, but there's not much improvement outside of I'm going to get you rebounds, I'm going to block shots, but what am I going to offer you in terms of an offensive game? Or, back to the basket, can I stay with guards on the perimeter? I don't know if Klingon is going to get that much better than what he is. And for me, I don't know if I'd want to take someone like that with that limited upside, second overall. I'd much rather bank on upside with that pick. And that could be a controversial take, but look, I think Saar is the better prospect, and I think he's going to be there, so I don't think it's a choice. I think you take Saar. And look, there could obviously be some surprises. Like last year, the Wizards selected Bilal Coulibaly, and up until that point, nobody had really heard about him going that high. He only did one pre-draft workout, and it was for the Wizards. That was a shock. I didn't think they were going to take him. I thought they were going to take Cam Whitmore or something like that, but they decided not to. They took the law, and could we see a similar situation? Yes. Like a Matas Buzelis projected to go 5 or 6. The Wizards had him in for a workout the other day. It's possible that they could take him. Cody Williams, very, very high upside prospect, mocked as high as 3, but mocked also as low as 11 or 12. Could Washington, shock everyone and take one of those guys at 2? Yes. And I would be shocked in the moment, but I would trust this front office because they haven't given me any reason not to. But I would be shocked. Anybody that I didn't name above, Castle, Klingon, Saar or Versace, I would be shocked if it wasn't one of those guys. I'd be shocked if it isn't Saar. But that's kind of the second pick. I mean, that's pretty much all you need to know about what could unfold there. Again, I'm telling you, it's going to be Alex Saar. You could see, you can believe in and all the other smoke screens that the Hawks are trying to put out. Like, they still like him. They might take him. I think Atlanta knows what it's doing. They're not going to trade the pick. They're going to take Risache. Saar falls to the Wizards too. So that's the second pick. Now we can move on to the 26th pick. And it's much trickier to predict the 26th pick and what could happen and the scenarios and stuff like I just did with the second. I mean, I just broke down the second pick basically into every little detail that could possibly happen. The 26th pick is anybody's game. I mean, if you want to know how crazy it could get, like Isaiah Collier, number one overall recruit in last year's class, goes to USC. He's a solid year, but no one really knows what to take of him. About a month ago, he was going top 10 automatically in a lot of mock drafts, definitely not falling outside the lottery. And now, I think ESPN's mock today had him at 26 to the Wizards. Like, there's so many surprising picks and crazy trades that could unfold from the first pick to 26. Like, it's not that easy to dictate. But what I can do is I could look at 6 prominent draft sites and I can let you know that their latest mock drafts have who in their latest mocks they have the Wizards taking. Two of them had Tyler Smith, a forward from G League Ignite. That was Hoops Hype and Bleacher Report, had him going to the Wizards 26th. Johnny Furphy, wing from Kansas. Kyshawn George, who I really like. I know my guy Bijan Todd really likes him as well. Justin Edwards. This was CBS Sports had Justin Edwards going to the Wizards, forward from Kentucky. I mean, I've seen Justin Edwards, which is what makes this crazy. I've seen him going at like 54 in some mocks and pretty consistently in the mid to late second. But CBS Sports thinks he's a first round pick. And that is why this draft is going to be crazy. And then the last one is Terrence Shannon Jr., a wing and out of Illinois, getting mocked to the Wizards. Again, he's been flying up draft boards. Look, he could go top 20. He could also fall into the second. You don't know. But look, there's a range for a player, and I feel like these guys that I'm about to name, these seven guys are definitely in play for the Wizards at 26. And these are guys that I would be surprised if they're at 26. I'd also wouldn't be surprised with some of them if they fall past 40. Like there's a lot of polarization with these prospects, but here are 7 guys that I think should be in play and fit the bill for the Wizards 26th. Tyler Kolek, a guard from Marquette, very smart floor general type player. I mean, the comparisons to Austin Reeves are, I think, just because they're white point guards that are pretty smart in terms of managing the ball, finding their teammates. Like, that's a pretty easy comparison. But I guess it works. Tristan Da Silva, who I'm really high on. I have him top 16, I think, on my board. A forward from Colorado, showed impressive shooting instincts and shooting touch, I should say, at Colorado. Seems like a do-it-all glue guy. And I think at 26, like, I'm not trying to find myself like a Tyrese Maxey that the Sixers, I think, got at like 22. Like, that's pretty rare. But I think the late first and the second round picks that make it in the league and make an impact are guys that just do anything it takes to help the team. It's very rare to take a star or draft a star that late. And I think teams often try to bank on this high upside. But I think if it's outside the top 14, 15, like, I want to take the best player for what they are, not for what they can be, if that makes sense. And I think Tristan da Silva is a very high ceiling. And I think he's going to, or sorry, I should say a very high floor. And I think he could be a very good glue guy for the Wizards in the future. The big name here is Zach Edey. And Zach Edey is probably the most polarizing prospect of the entire class. I mean, he's a giant. He dominated college basketball. But the quickness, the foot speed, the athleticism, can he compete with the quickness of NBA players, the shot making of NBA players? I don't know. But he's been pretty consistently mocked mid to late first, so I don't see why the Wizards wouldn't want to maybe take a leap on him. I don't know. But nonetheless, him, Yvis Missi from Baylor, a guy that's been mocked in the top 20. I think Matt Modano had him like 16 or 17 on his board. Very talented player. Pacome Dadier, he's a guard from France. I don't know much about him, but seems to be pretty talented. Bobby Klintman from the NBL, transfer from Wake Forest, very high upside prospect. And then Cameron Christie, guard from Minnesota. He's actually, I think, the only one on this list that's had a confirmed workout with Washington. His projected range is anywhere from 28 to 36, but maybe he impressed in that workout. He's a shooter, a shooting guard that shot pretty well from three, and I think he could work for the Wizards at 26. So those are just some guys to keep an eye on there. I know it's a lot, but look, there are so many guys that could go there, that hopefully that helps, as much as it possibly can. And so after that, you move on. That's the Wizards' second pick, the second time they've been on the clock. And you go to the 51st pick. And now, if you thought that at the 26th pick was going to be tough to predict and prepare you for, you multiply that by 10 or 20. Like this 51st pick could literally go anywhere. There's people that you think could go undrafted that the Wizards might like at 51. There's people that the Wizards probably think could go in the first round that might be there at 51. The point is that you don't know. But what I can tell you is there's 5 second round prospects that have completed pre-draft workouts with the Wizards. And when I say second round, I mean like pretty consistently mocked in the second round. Trenton Flowers, a guard from the NBL. Tristan Newton, back-to-back champ with UConn, also Final Four most outstanding player. Antonio Reeves, guard from Kentucky, shot 44% from three this season. You're a really good shooter, for the guard position. Keenan Blackshear, forward from Nevada. I thought he played a little bigger than what he is, as like an undersized four maybe. But he's got a really jerky type game. Like, I think if he finds his way into the NBA, he could be a decent player. But I would take most of the guys here above him. And then Mekhi Mitchell, oldest prospect here, 24 years old, forward from Arkansas. I'd prefer not to take a 24-year-old if I'm the Wizards, but if he's the best player there, then I guess you go for it. And then there's some other guys that they could target in this range. Jamal Shedd, guard from Houston. Look, I think mock drafts have Jamal Shedd going. Like, the Wizards could take Jamal Shedd at 26. But look, he could be there at 51. Juan Nunez, a guard from Spain. Pelle Larsen from Arizona, forward. Jalen Wells, good shooter from Washington State. Reese Beekman from Virginia, another solid defensive player. These are all guys that I think the Wizards should look to at 51. Because a lot of times the 51st pick is going to be a two-way player. It might be different for a team like Washington, who has so many open roster spots that you could consider signing them to a regular rookie scale deal. But for the most part, the guy who they take at 51 is going to be a two-way guy. And do they want to go for upside here, or do they want to go for talent, no matter how old they are? I know what Tommy Shepard would do. He would draft the most random draft and stash guy, and then not even consider bringing him over or checking on him or doing anything like that. And then you look back four years later, and Yannick Nwosa, I don't even know if he's playing anymore. So yeah, that's what Tommy Shepard would do with this pick, but I think Will Dawkins and Michael Winger could maybe do so. I mean, look, Tristan Vucevic, look where they drafted him, mid-second round, and he showed out in like the 10 games that he was with the Wizards. He seems to be a player of the future. Like,
this isn't just a throwaway pick. There's talent there, and I'm sure the Wizards will do everything they can to find it. So those are the three Wizard selections. However, there's a lot of reason to believe that they could have more than three selections at the end of the draft. And there's a lot of reason where they could have less, where they could trade out of certain picks if they don't like the talent there. You saw it last year. I mean, they made the KP trade, they got the 35th pick, and they traded that to Chicago for 2 second-round picks in the future. I mean, they picked up 2 second-round picks in the Marvin Bagley trade from Detroit in 25 and 26. They've consistently been on this acquire more draft capital train. So I look, if a team, let's say a team like the Suns or like the Lakers that are battling salary cap issues, they need these fringe, these second rounders on cheap deals to round out their roster. And let's say they like a guy there. I'll give you two of my future seconds because I'm competing now and I need to have another rookie scale contract on my team, if that makes sense. So look, it's possible that the Wizards make some of these moves. I fully expect, by the way, that they stay put at number two. I don't see them passing up the opportunity. It's rare, as you see with Detroit, that you get lottery luck year after year. The Wizards very well could have been picking at number five or number six, and they got lucky and they got the second pick. Whereas a team like Detroit falls to five. Next year, the Wizards could be the worst team. Look at Detroit; they could be at five. So I think in a new lottery era where it's rare that you get top picks like this, you got to capitalize and convert and take them. And look, I think if Sar is there, you take him. But this is a fun podcast, and we like trades here, so we're going to explore the realm of trades. In terms of the second pick, you can make mock trades with Detroit for Ivy for Kuz, and we did that a couple weeks ago. And you could look at a team like the Grizzlies. If they want Klingon, they can move up to two, or there's a lot of that. But that's not realistic. I don't see any of that unfolding. The only realistic trade partner and the only one that has the assets to make an enticing offer to the Wizards is the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, the Spurs have picks 4 and 8. The Wizards have picks 2 and 26. San Antonio has been rumored to really like Zachary Risacher. Atlanta seems to be deciding between Risacher and Klingon. Let's say the Hawks decide, I think Donovan Klingon's the best player in this draft. I want to take him one. They draft Klingon. Well, then you look at San Antonio, they're like, well, we didn't think we would have a chance. We thought Atlanta would take Risacher, and they didn't want to trade out of this pick. What do we like? We need to go get our guy. And if you're the Wizards, you're like, well, I mean, I'm at two, and Sar's still here, but I mean, I think I might be able to get him at four because you look at a team like the Spurs, they have Wemby. Like, Sar is not even on the Spurs' radar at number four. And then you look at a team like Houston, they have Steven Adams already. They have a bunch of young guys. Like, do you think if Sar falls to three that the Rockets would take him? Like, there's a bunch of obviously things to consider here, but the 2 and 26 for 4 and 8 swap is something I've been thinking about ever since the lottery came out, where the Spurs did end up getting Toronto's pick. Because I think for when you consider the situations and where each team is in their rebuilds, San Antonio is much farther along. San Antonio is ready to stop picking in the lottery. They're ready to compete because, look, in 3 years, they're going to be paying Victor Wembanyama $500 million. That's just going to happen. So if they can compete now while he's getting paid a rookie salary, they got to do something like that. And I think two top 10 picks in a draft filled with 3 to 4 year away players, the Spurs would just, they'd rather have one guy that's very good and could help them now, at a position they need, over two picks in that top 10. And for the Wizards team that's just beginning their rebuild, they'd prefer to have two top eight picks than just one pick at number two and then a late first round pick at 26. So I think situationally, if you ask the Wizards, what would you rather have, 2 and 26 or 4 and 8, they'd say 4 and 8. And if you ask the Spurs, what would you rather have, number two, where you could take Chris Boucher in 26, or would you rather have 4 and 8? I think the Spurs would rather have 2 and 26. So I think that's a very, like, it's a very possible package. It's a very easy trade. And if you look at the Spurs, you trade up, you get Zachary Risache, and you can take someone else at 26, and you kind of have that core for the foreseeable future. And then you look at the Wizards, if Klingon goes one, like, you're sitting there at two. Yeah, you want Sar, but you trade back because you might be able to get him at four, and you get the eighth overall pick. And let's say, obviously, the Spurs take Risache at two. It's very possible that Sar could go three, but if that happens, fine. Give me Stephon Castle at four. Who can I take at eight? I could take Matas Buzelis if he falls, Cody Williams if he decide if you know he falls to me at eight. You could go so many different directions that obviously if I'm the Wizards, I take that and run with it. The thing, I don't know if the Spurs really, really like Risache, they'd make that move. But I don't know, he hasn't worked out for them, so I don't know their level of interest in him. I think it's high based on rumors, but the only way I could see the Wizards trading out of that pick is if the Spurs come in and they offer them 4 and 8 for 2 and 26. Other than that, I think it's Sar all the way. So that's the only trade out situation I can really see at number two. Another trade that I kind of want to look at that could happen if you're looking at the Wizards trading back into the first round is with one of the late lottery teams. And the teams that I'm looking at specifically, Memphis at number 9, OKC at 12, and Sacramento at 13. Memphis has been really high on Klingon the entire pre-draft process. They have a need at center to pair with Jaren Jackson Jr. They could like him that much to where if he falls to two, they decide we'll give you like nine and then like a future one. And the Wizards obviously want every pick that they can get. So like maybe if you give him a 2025 future one, you give him nine. Still, I don't think that's enough, which is why I don't consider Memphis a real threat here. OKC at 12, like they might almost have too much young talent. And I think they could have greatly benefited from a lot more veteran presence in the playoffs. It's possible that they want to offload that 12th pick for a guy like Kyle Kuzma. Obviously, they really want Denny, and I don't think the Wizards should trade Denny, but you never know. But I don't. I just. I also don't think they have what the Wizards want in terms of, like, they have draft picks, obviously, but I don't see those sides working out a trade. I don't think it makes sense for either of them. And then you look at Sacramento at 13, and that's the I'm circling Sacramento with a red pen at 13 because if the Wizards trade up back into the lottery, that is the team that you want to look at. And I talked about this trade on the last pod, and I'm going to bring it up again because I think this is a perfect trade for both teams, and I think they should do it. And the package is around Kyle Kuzma. It's Kyle Kuzma goes to Sacramento. Harrison Barnes goes to Washington for salary matching purposes. A young player like Colby Jones or Davion Mitchell goes to the Wizards, and the 13th overall pick goes to Washington in this draft. Sacramento gets a floor spacer that could start for them down the in the future for the next 3 years that he's locked up under that contract. And Washington gets another late pick in the lottery. They also get a young guard to add. It makes sense. And look, I don't think the Wizards are going to make any trades. And this is all speculation, obviously, and it's fun to talk about. But I think the Wizards are going to stay at number two and take Sar. I think they're going to sit tight at 26. And if Isaiah Collier falls into their lap, if Kolek or DeSilva are there, there's going to be some talent. And I think they're going to stay put there. The place where I think that they won't pick is 51. I do think that the Wizards are going to trade out of 51. I think they're going to move out and try to acquire additional draft capital. You could even see them at 26 if they don't like anyone. Just say, you know what? I don't. If you would be willing to give me like 2 second round picks, if and you want to move up like 3 slots to 26 and give me, if you have 29, like the Wizards are going to do everything they can to finagle through the draft and pick up extra picks and all that stuff, especially in a draft class that's not supposed to be that good. So look, that was obviously a lot to discuss. But at the end of the day, I think the Wizards end night one on the 26th with Alexander Sarr as their center of the future. All of the reports that I talked about, the DraftKings lines, the pre-draft workout situations, like it all makes sense for Alex Sarr to fall to Washington at 2. And whether Atlanta takes Risa, Shai, or Klingon, I do not care. Again, I think Atlanta got bailed out here, and I think that's why the lottery system pisses me off. Like a team that deep in the lottery should never have a chance to get the first pick. And I get it; it's exciting, and it brings up TV ratings and views and all that. But Atlanta's GMs have been so bad that they've run that franchise into the ground after making the conference final, and to bail them out like this with the first pick is it's bullshit, to be honest. But nonetheless, they're there. And I still hate the Hawks from when they broke John's hand and all that. So I still hold a grudge. But nonetheless, the Hawks are going to take, I think, one of Klingon or Risacher. And that leaves Sarr to the Wizards at 2. 26 is anybody's game. 51 is anybody's game. But that's kind of where it lies. And also with the first pick, I got to mention this real quick. Atlanta, you got to look at their situation. Like, they want to win now. But they also want to trade one of Murray or Young. Not both of them. They can't tank because if you remember from the Murray trade, they don't own their first round pick next year. And I don't think they own it in 2027 or 2029. Like they don't control their drafts for the next couple of years. So tanking's out of the question. And when you look at their roster, I mean, they still have one more year of paying Clint Capella $22 million. They have 4 more years of paying Onyeka Okongwu $14 million per year. That's $36 million locked into your centers. You're telling me that you're going to take another center in Alex Sarr at number one? I don't buy it. And I don't even buy the Klingon thing. Like, you're going to take another center to go behind the $36 million you have invested in two centers? And I get they're trying to shop Clint Capella, but who wants that deal? Clint Capella is a drop coverage, lob threat that doesn't do much for me. Why would anybody want to take on his contract? And maybe they find a team like the Wizards that says, look, we have a lot of cap space. Give me Clint Capella, but like you're gonna need to attach something. I don't think multiple seconds get it done. You're gonna need to attach pick swap or like a first round pick to Clint Capella's deal or a young player. You can't just offload his salary to a rebuilding team and not pay the price for it. So look, I don't think they have any suitors for Capella. I think they're going to pay him next year. I think they're already paying Onyeka Okongwu to back him up. You're going to take Donovan Klingon. Are you going to play? Where are you going to play him? Are you going to take Sarr? Where are you going to play him if you're trying to win now? That's why you could draft Risacher. You put him in at the wing, and he fits what you're trying to do, no matter if you keep Trae Young or if you keep Deontay Murray. That's why these smoke screens and oh, they love Klingon and all that. It doesn't do anything for me. They're taking Risacher. The Wizards are taking Sarr. Shepard's going 3 to Houston. Then the draft starts. And look, that's kind of going to wrap it up for this episode. I hope that you go away listening to this saying that you, I want to say learn something, but that you're prepared for draft night, that you know everything that's at stake for the Wizards. You know the prospects that they could take at 2, 26, and 51. You know some trade scenarios that they could be looking at. You know kind of what the situation is between who Atlanta is probably going to take and what that would mean for who Washington will take. Now, hopefully you're knowledgeable a little bit more about the Wizards' entire 2024 draft, because look, as sad as it sounds, this is the Wizards Super Bowl. This is their NBA Finals. This is why they play. I mean, the Celtics, they play to make and win, to win championships. That's why they played this year. The Wizards played for June 26th and 27th. That's why they lost so many games. That's why their roster was so bad. That's why watching them was horrid. This is why rebuilding teams tank. And it's going to be a nerve-wracking night because these selections determine whether or not these next 2 to 3 years of miserable losing are going to be worth it. That's why there's a lot of pressure on Dawkins and Winger, and they know that. They know how important the draft is. You know, when you're a destination like Washington that struggled to attract free agents, building through the draft is the only way. I mean, look at the 2017 team that made it nearly to the conference final. I mean, drafted John 1, drafted Otto at 3, Brad at 3, made some really good trades, bringing in Marcin as that center, you know, Markieff Morris. You have to be smart, and you have to build through the draft when you are considered to be a small market team, like the Wizards are, where you can't attract free agents. And that's why these drafts are so important. And look, I have full trust in Michael Winger and Will Dawkins. Bilal Coulibaly looks like he's going to be a really, really good NBA player. They paid Denny Avdia. He made them look incredible after that breakout season. Corey Kispert, extension eligible. You know, I'll go on a limb. I would expect Corey Kispert before the season starts to have signed a 4-year extension with the Wizards. I don't think it's going to be anything near Denny Avdia's 4-year 55 mil, but I could see like a 4-year $44 million deal, $11 million per year for Kispert. But I think his extension gets done before the season. And one last housekeeping thing. The new CBA rules, as of now, at any time, you can negotiate and sign contracts with your own free agents. We saw Siakam sign this morning. And the Wizards have two free agents, Tyus Jones and Anthony Gill. Tyus, many thought would be traded at the deadline last year. He didn't get traded. He's an unrestricted free agent. So, you know, he could decide to go to contender in the Wizards. What are you going to do? I don't think he fits the timeline, 28-year-old point guard. Very good player, but I'd personally rather see those minutes go to Jordan Poole and Jared Butler than to Tyus Jones. And then you look at a guy like Anthony Gill, and I know a lot of you are rolling your eyes. Anthony Gill, like, we keep resigning him. You need vets. I mean, look at the Rockets. You know, they had all these young guys running around, not having those veteran presence, and they just lost and lost and lost and lost. And then they bring in Jeff Green. They bring in Boban. Like, they bring in veteran guys, Van Vliet, Dylan Brooks, and they have their best season they've had since Harden. You need guys like Gill, and I think a vet minimum, 1 or 2 year deal, like that. That's a smart move. And I'm gonna catch some backlash for that, but I think I'd rather re-sign Anthony Gill to a vet minimum than re-sign Tyus Jones to like a $10 to $13 million year per year contract. But that's that. This is a draft episode. I hope you come away learning something, and hope you're prepared for the draft. I'm putting all my cards on the table. It's Alex Saar going number 2 to the Washington Wizards. You can take that to the bank, circle back here in a week, but Alex Saar will be a Wizard. That's going to do it for this episode. Again, I appreciate all you guys for listening. Stay tuned for a bunch of draft coverage this week leading up to the draft. I'm going to be coming on with Grant Paulson on 106.7 The Fan to talk some draft stuff. Really excited for that. Like I mentioned, I just did a draft roundtable with Craig Hoffman, Matt Moderno, Damo. Check that out on Craig's YouTube channel. It was a blast. A lot of good draft nuggets in there. Going to be going to Troy Halliburton's draft party talk in there. So again, if you didn't hear about that, I posted about it. Troy did. So go to our socials. It's going to be a really fun event on June 26th at 8 p.m. on draft night. And then, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, I've been tweeting about a bunch of stuff as well. So the pre-draft workout tracker has been updated. The Wizards worked out Stephon Castle. Obviously, they worked out Saar, Klingon, Uzelis, and they have a workout scheduled for Riz Ashay. So be on the lookout for all the tweets as well. But again, thanks so much for listening. I really appreciate it. And that's going to do it for this episode. I will be back 1 week from today, recapping the Wizards' first round picks and second round picks, and do an entire draft, finale type recap. So again, look out for that in a week, but But that's going to do it. The next time you see me, Alex Sarr will be a Wizard. Thanks for watching. Go Wiz.